It's the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show presented by your Front Range Toyota stores on 104.3 The Fan HD3, DenverPioneers.com, the Summit League Network, all the rest. We are here this week talking Pioneers skiing with the new head Nordic skiing coach of the Denver Pioneers, Elishka Albrechtsen, who joins us. It is so nice to meet you. Welcome to Denver. And I say that in a very literal sense because you haven't even been here 2 weeks yet.
That's correct. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So tell us about the hiring process. You just came from Alaska. Anchorage, the new head Nordic skiing coach here at the University of Denver. Colorado is a place you're very familiar with, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But you get the job. It was a 5-day drive to get here from Fairbanks. Is that right?
Yes. Well, I kind of scheduled it for myself that way because I really wanted to make the team retreat that we had in Winter Park to meet everyone. And that gave me 5 days to make it.
So you rush into a 5-day road trip to get down and immediately you get to jump in and meet this team. Has to be like drinking out of a fire hose for you, where it's just constant, a flood of new stuff over the last 10 days, 2 weeks.
You know, to be honest, it is kind of like when we're at races, you know, U.S. Nationals or NCAAs, the stress is constant and everything's just rolling really fast. So it almost feels like it's kind of my second nature.
When you get a chance to meet your athletes for the first time and you jump in at, you know, a time of the year where they're starting school and they're getting into the routine of all the new things that come along with the academic calendar, what was the retreat like for you?
For me, it was just sleeping in a bed. It was really great. but also, you know, trying to digest the altitude and then kind of look presentable so they are not scared of who they see in front of them after 5 days of, you know, 13-hour drive every day. So it was really great. And most of them knew me from, you know, the RMISA circuit. It's a small circuit, right. And we're all friends. So most of them knew me. So they were not like, you know, who is this strange lady who has totally wretched eyes. So it wasn't too bad. And they were super, super nice, super helpful, had really great questions and were super supportive.
This is such a cool stage now in your coaching career for this Denver program. Also, as I noted, you're not unfamiliar with Colorado. You're a CU product. And obviously the familiarity that you have with Denver, with the Pioneers, with this landscape of college skiing, Nordic, by the way, cross country, if you are unfamiliar with Nordic skiing. Tell us about your path to, you know, being at this stage in your career. You grew up in the Czech Republic, Czechia, as it's now known on the international sports landscape. When you were growing up, how did you get into this? When did you decide to transition? You were an individual national champion as a skier in college.
Yes.
To transition to the coaching ranks, like, take us through your biography.
I was recruited to ski for the Buffaloes by Richie Roccos, and Bruce Cranmer was a great guide through the college as my coach on the Nordic side. I never wanted to be a coach, really thinking about it before that, because the coaches I had before, they were just standing by the side of the trail, freezing. I'm like, I don't think that's fun.
Like, this doesn't seem enjoyable.
But Bruce was the first coach who actually skied with us, and that was so beneficial because he saw what we're doing out there while we're doing intervals, where we're doing technique. So, you know, that kind of gave me the idea of, wow, this is something that I would be really into. On top of it, I studied physiology. Biomechanics of Nordic skiing was actually the focus that I had. So I learned a lot about how the physics of Nordic skiing work. And as I was coming through, through the years of the college education, worked on a research in that field, I realized I need to pass this on to people, because if everyone knows how to do this in this such an efficient way, everyone can enjoy it so much more.
That is such a fascinating additional element as a coach. Do you feel like that has helped you unlock things in your athletes that maybe before, if they don't have that information, how are you going to know certain things about your efficiency and your mechanics? Do you feel like that's an additional element that you have?
Absolutely.
Knowing all that?
Absolutely, yes. I really focus highly on the biomechanics of it because, you know, you can't fight science. At least I believe you can't. So I teach and coach through science, through the biomechanics and physiology. That's the strongest background I have. And, you know, the high level of racing that I did in the world, in US, So together, I think that's kind of the credit that I'm bringing. And I think my new athletes are really listening to it, and it's easier for them to buy in because they know what I'm doing. A lot of them do have, science majors. So that helps.
And being able to couple that with your own experience, you were on the national team and you've raced and been on so many big stages. How did that help craft the type of coach that you are, the experiences that you had as an athlete? And now, like you said, seeing coaches in the past who were just kind of standing off to the side, freezing, or coaches who were hands-on, how did the experience of being an athlete yourself help you now as a coach?
You know, this is something that I get asked actually quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I think longer I'm coaching, longer I'm realizing that I'm not trying to like think about who I am as a coach and how I'm doing it. I'm just being myself. So I'm just trying to acquire knowledge through experience and education that then I pass on to people. So, that's for all the beginning coaches there, or beginning college coaches, or even high school, or even the little ones out there. Just be yourself. Don't try to think about, oh, my coach was like that, I would love to be like that, because that will be really awkward and not genuine. So just coach from what you know. Just try to don't think about coaching. Just try to bring the information to the athletes that are interested.
In your own way,
yes,
also,
exactly.
As your own person. And you got a chance. You were at Alaska Fairbanks for 7 years prior to this stop, now in Denver, 6 years as the head coach. Being there and being able to, you know, you were just showing me a picture of your little guy, your son. It's already snowing in Fairbanks.
Yes.
You get to be outdoors and do that work so much of the year. What was that experience like in Fairbanks, sort of learning how you wanted to coach and be a program builder and leader?
Similarly to here, I like working with diversity and something that's working against me. So there, it was the weather in similar but the opposite way,
right,
to here.
Right.
Right. We had so much snow and so early that the early preparation on roller skis was really a struggle. And then also our time of being able to practice, we had very limited time because you have, 3-4 hours a day when it's daylight and it's warm enough,
right,
to be outside.
Good point.
Yes, yes. So those were the, challenges that I had to work with. Also recruiting up to Alaska, not everyone is built for Fairbanks. So those were all the challenges that that we had to kind of include. But the nature there, the vastness of Alaska, all the opportunities that it brings, that was what we really focused on, and that kind of brought us the success. So this is why I kind of chose to come to Denver, because that's another challenge. It's the opposite challenge.
Definitely.
But I like challenges, and I don't like stereotypes. So when something's too easy, too same. I don't get excited. It doesn't push me.
Well, and you get to come into a program that, you know, Denver skiing is nationally known for being one of the,
yes,
premier programs in the country. Before you arrived here, or even back in your collegiate days in Boulder, or when you were in Fairbanks, what did Denver skiing mean? When you thought about the University of Denver's program, how did you view the Pioneers?
Super hard workers.
Yeah.
Definitely, always. That was, the picture that we've seen. Definitely no slackers. And also the tradition of the support of the team, which is something that maybe I wasn't that used to before. When I was looking through the web pages, I saw this link, and it just says former Olympians. And most of them, I think like 68, are from, the ski team.
Incredible.
which is crazy. So that was one thing that I really admired, and was something that I wanted to work with. I also do a decent job with international students, and here it's some sort of, unspoken tradition. I am planning on bringing more Americans and athletes from Colorado, as I believe there's enough talent, and I think I have what it takes to develop it.
One of my favorite questions that I ever get to ask international athletes and coaches, how many languages do you speak?
I do speak 2, but understand 3-4.
That's amazing. As I said before we started this interview, I feel like I barely speak English sometimes, so I'm extraordinarily impressed with that. You also get to work with a couple of coaches in tandem, Otto Tischte and Jonas Rosinen, who you will all be together. How cool is that to have the support system of coaches who know what it takes to be successful here and want to work to be successful as a group?
Jonas and Emma are actually very similar graduating class as I was. So, you know, we knew each other and I'm really excited to work with them because of that. But also something new that I haven't done before since Fairbanks didn't have the downhill portion of the ski team. Definitely brings more pressure, you know. It's not just my decisions and what I make,
but
pressure makes diamonds. That's what I'm excited about. Just working, alongside of coaches that, as skiing is one sport, but downhill and Nordic is so different, they have a different outlook on things. They do things differently and I can learn from them. And, you know, that's appealing because when you're just working kind of in your own bubble, there's really no growth.
Well, this is a very exciting chapter, obviously, for Denver Nordic Skiing, for you as well. Have you gotten any sleep in the last, 2-3 weeks?
Yes, yeah. I'm a pretty good sleeper.
Okay.
My son, sadly, is still in Fairbanks, so
right.
I'm working on getting him here. But that gives me a little bit more sleep for now, so I can you know, stack it up before
you can catch up on it before
yes,
he gets here,
yes,
and then it's back
yeah,
in
I can't
normalcy.
Wait for him to be here.
Well, Alicia, this is so exciting to see you with this program and being, especially at this time of the year, you know, it could be a challenge, but you love challenges. Alicia Albrechtsen is the new head Nordic skiing coach at the University of Denver. Congratulations on the hire, and we'll be seeing you going forward.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Thanks, Alicia. Appreciate it. Denver Pioneers Coaches Show on 104.3 The Fan HD3, presented by your hometown Toyota stores.
Planning your financial future could be overwhelming and confusing. So let the experts at JFG Family Office help guide you to your financial goals. The team at JFG Family Office believes in increasing transparency, lowering fees, and striving to achieve better outcomes so you have peace of mind when it comes to all of your investing needs. Contact JFG Family Office at jfgfamilyoffice.com to get started on planning for your future.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Pat, today on the University of Denver Coaches Show, excited to welcome in to University of Denver's men's and women's swimming and diving head coach, Alicia Hicken-Fraglin. Alicia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Nico?
Fantastic. Thank you. Let's jump right in. Your 2 weekends of meets in a 3-week stretch into your season. What are some of the takeaways that you've been able to come out of those first 2 meets with?
Just really starting our racing again. It's been, you know, many months since we've raced short course yards. You know, we race long course meters in the summer, but so just getting back to racing short course yards and getting our processes established, things that people are working on, you know, that type of communication, getting to know our newcomers. That's kind of what we've wanted to get out of the first couple of meets. And so that has been really good. We've had some good conversations as a team and also with our individuals performing on the team about, you know, what we're doing, what we're working on, how that's going when we go to the weekend and perform and get a chance to look at it. And then coming back to a week of training to work on those things again. So I would say we're in a really good spot. As far as the win loss, we would love to be better, but that's not my primary concern at the moment.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the results aren't necessarily key at the moment. A lot of the focus is probably, I'm assuming, preparing for that Minnesota invite at the beginning of December and making sure that you guys are at your best at that time. What do you kind of want to see, or how do you want to see the team progress as a whole between now and then?
Just like continuing to work on our competitiveness in racing. I think that's something that's it's one of our goals to improve this year. And that might sound a little funny. I think we compete well, but we just wanted like just a little bit more out of everybody in practice as well, not just in competition. So that's something we're going to go back and work on. In our next couple dual meets too, we'll be able to just work on getting faster. I mean, we were at the point where we've had some early season racing, and so being able to continue to race similar events, right? People get to race their better events multiple times, and hopefully that those, the process work is leading to faster swimming. So building confidence, I think is where we're headed next, especially leading into Minnesota, where we want our confidence to be high as we go into rest and taper and compete there.
Obviously, diving is equally as important. And I know that you're less involved with it, but I know that obviously you're still overseeing it. Just kind of talk about how they've so far been able to have four different divers here in the first 2 weeks kind of turn in fairly good performances and give you guys some good points.
I mean, I think it's just a testament to the work that they're doing. They've been working right away, right into things. And I know there's a number of divers that were working hard all summer as well. So, kind of carrying that through into our fall. I'm really happy with where our divers are competing, and just like the enjoyment that they're bringing to what they're doing, which, I think you don't want to be tight when you're really doing any sport, probably, but definitely not on the diving board. So that's been good. I think things are moving in the right direction on the boards for sure. I think Aaron's pretty happy with the progression that they're making, and it's good that we can count on people in different ways.
I want to pick out two swimmers from the first couple of weeks in particular. Hamish McLaughlin on the men's side has obviously had an impressive summer, and he's translated that into his college season so far.
He just came in ready, like physically ready, but also mentally ready to do what he knows he needs to do, make changes that he knows he needs to make in order to elevate and take it to another level. And I know Hamish's goal is to make NCAA championships. And so, I think he's doing the right things. But people that I've coached that, are able to reach that level, he's doing similar things. So it's been really great. I mean, leadership wise, also just like watching him just like enjoy what he's doing and have fun progressing.
And then from an upperclassman to a newcomer, I think what freshman Samantha Sensible has given you so far has been really impressive with two event wins against some really good competition here in her first two meets. Kind of what have you seen from her?
She's just gritty. She loves to win and she loves to race. And so you put her in those positions and she's always, she always engages, right? Which is not anything different than I saw from her when we recruited her and have been able to watch her race quite a bit since she's from Colorado. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm impressed for sure, not surprised, but that's been really a great spark for our women.
You mentioned earlier about Hamish's goal to make the NCAA championships. I kind of want to get your thoughts and your perspective on the new NCAA qualification standards, getting rid, at least in swimming, of the B cut, and making it just one solid qualification standard. Your kind of overall thoughts about that so far?
So I think it's a change to get all programs involved, and I think to bring just like there's automatic qualifiers in other sports, it kind of applies it to our sport, and so it definitely helps us in our conference where we tend to win the majority of the events. So the automatic qualifier piece of the qualification is that if you win a conference title and in that race you're underneath that qualification standard, you get an automatic qualification to NCAA championships. Now, if you go a time that's under that standard at a different meet, or you get second, you're in the mix with everybody else qualifying. So you still, still have to qualify outright. So it definitely gives us an advantage. I think looking at standards and looking at our team from last year, we would have probably had, I think we think 3 to 4 that would have made it. So we're excited. You know, it's great motivation. Also have to be ready to step up in that moment in finals and make that cut. So I think that brings some excitement to our championships, you know, for fans and for teams to just know that that could happen in that moment. That makes it pretty fun.
And it gives, at least from my perspective, it gives even more emphasis to the conference championship, right? Like your program at this point has expected that they're going to win the conference championship. That's your team goal every year. And more times than not, here in the last 10 years, you guys have done that. And this just gives the, at least in my opinion, the motivation for the student athletes. Not only do I have to win, but I also need to get a time that will also qualify me while I'm winning.
Exactly. And just promotes competition at the championship a little bit more, right? Like, not that people aren't competing, but if you know you're in the top three and there's three or four people that could do it, like, they'll push each other, which is what needs to happen in our sport, right? Like, that's how people do great things, is that they're pushed by other people while they're racing in those moments. And so it should create some really good competitive moments at the championship. Which is amazing. Will be
I
fun.
mentioned, yeah, of course. I mentioned the Minnesota invite earlier. Just talk about the importance of that meet from your perspective. Obviously, you have ties to that program as well. Just kind of talk about the importance of that meet.
Just for us to see different competition, you know, that hasn't changed for us with our midseason. That's really always what we're looking for, to go compete against some different teams, high level teams. They'll be similar teams that were there last year. Cal will be there, you know, number one, two in the country. So we get to see what it's like, right? And what those athletes do and how they handle themselves and how they're performing at that time of year, which is always good. And then, for our own team, I think building confidence through that performance, like being able to go there and hopefully get back to best times, definitely season best at that point. But if we can get back to best times, then that means that we're building confidence to be even faster at the end of the year. So that's kind of what we're looking for there. And for really the depth in our roster to get second swims, and will be a good challenge for them.
Only one chance for supporters of the program to get to see you guys compete at home this fall, but on the other side of the new year, to start 2026, you have four competition dates, I believe, inside El Pomar Natatorium. Talk about the importance of that, to just be able to compete at home in front of your fans at a facility you're at every day. How excited are you for that stretch, on the other side of the new year?
Yeah, this fall our Front Range meet that we hosted, we had a huge crowd. I mean, we had a huge turnout of alumni. We had a big parent weekend. I mean, we had a lot of fun. It's so energetic when the stands there are full. So I look forward to that in the new year. And it's a time of year where it's nice to have a little extra energy, because we've been working hard for a few months at that point, and getting close to the end, right? So to have some crowd energy will really help our team. To be at home for sure will really help our team. And then we have our senior recognition that will happen during our Wyoming meet. So that'll be fun too.
That date is January 17th for those listening. So definitely come check out that meet. And all the other meets, the other dates are January 2nd against Mines, January 9th against Utah, January 10th against BYU, and January 17th against Wyoming and Colorado Mesa. Alicia, thank you so much for your time. The women are in action this weekend up in Fort Collins, and we wish you guys all the best.
Thank you, Nico. Go Pios.
That's wrapping up this edition of the University of Denver Coaches Show. We'll be back to you next week with a live show with head coach David Carl.